And now it's time for the further adventures of Big John and Sparky. Today's chapter is entitled, The Dogs Get Organized. Sparky has a little dog named Bunny. He's a toy Boston Bull. Cute as a dog as you ever did see, but he's been acting very strangely lately. He leaves the house early in the morning and he's gone all day. This is strange behavior for Bunny because ordinarily he likes to stay close to the house, hardly ever goes out. Sparky is investigating. As today's chapter begins, Mayor Plumfront and I are in the living room of our little house all the way up the next block, talking about what's been happening.
You know, Buster, that there story you've been telling me about the way all the dogs in the neighborhood have been acting, that's mighty interesting.
Yeah, it certainly is, Mayor. And it's very strange, too. I would sure like to know how come all the dogs around here are acting the way they do.
You know, Buster, if I was one of them there fellas who writes them there science fiction stories, I could come up with some mighty weird explanations.
Like what, for instance, Mayor? Something like perhaps all the dogs are tired of being ruled by men, so they're plotting a revolution so they can take over the world?
Well, something like that, Buster. At least that wouldn't be any more fantastic than the story I was reading last night in my favorite science fiction magazine. Say, did you ever read that there Tales of the Unknown magazine, Bucky?
Tales of the Unknown?
Yes, it's mighty interesting.
No, I don't believe I've ever even seen that magazine on the newsstand.
Oh, my goodness. Magazine rack up at Clyde Pillroller's drugstore is just filled with magazines like that. The story I read last night told about the day the insects took over the world. Can you imagine a thing like that?
No, frankly, I can't. But then I can't imagine a thing like all the dogs are doing around here right now. Do you suppose it's just a coincidence that all the dogs have been leaving their homes early in the morning and not returning until late evening?
Well, can't say, Buster. Doesn't seem very likely, but there might be just coincidence. I don't know. It's got me stumped.
Say, by the way, not to change the subject.
That's all right.
Did you hear anything from Yuki Butcher lately? How's he doing as a member of the Cincinnati Reds baseball team?
Well, I don't know for sure. I haven't heard anything from him. I did listen to the radio, and that's about the only information I get about Yuki these days. He pitched the game last Saturday against the Chicago Cubs. Or was it the Pittsburgh Pirates? I don't rightly know. But anyway, old Yuke pitched the game for the Reds last Saturday.
Yeah, what'd he do, win or lose?
Oh, he won. As a matter of fact, he almost pitched a no-hit game.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, almost pitched a no-hitter.
How many hits did they get off of him?
10.
10?
Yeah.
Well, I thought you said he almost pitched a no-hitter.
Well, I said he almost. He didn't give up a hit for the first 8 innings. Then they got at him for 10 hits in the 9th.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Too bad.
Yeah, he's close to a no-hitter there.
But it's been an 8-inning game.
Yeah, that's where they got into trouble, that 9th inning.
Wonder what happened to Yuki.
Oh, I don't know. I think he got a blister on his finger from throwing so many of those wacky curveballs that he throws. You know, Yuki's got a curveball that curves in toward the batter. When it's about 4 feet from home plate, then it curves away from the batter. Then it's about 2 feet from the plate, and then all of a sudden it curves in again, and it drops down when it gets even with the plate.
Hey, that is a pitch. How in the world does he throw it?
I don't know. All I do know is that you can get a lot of blisters on your hand from throwing a pitch like that.
I imagine so. Well, I don't suppose it'll take long before the blisters on Yuki's hand heal, though.
No. He'll probably be ready to pitch next time it comes his turn. I wouldn't worry about that. He'll get his licks in there. Oh, see, there's the front door. You think that's the lad coming home?
Yeah, no doubt. That's Sparky, all right.
Hey, John!
Answer your question.
Yes, Sparky, I'm in here, in the living room with Mayor Plumfront. Come on in here.
Hey, wait a minute. Calm down there. You're all out of breath. We can't understand a word you're saying.
All of us kids are running all over the place. Hurry all the way home. Going on?
Well, we've been aware of that for several days. I suppose you're talking about all the dogs in the neighborhood?
Yeah, I sure am.
She's been telling me all about it. Seems mighty funny to me.
Well, I just had a special meeting
back
in Robinson Woods, and we were trying to find out what's going on, see?
Uh-huh. Well, what'd you find out?
First of all, we figured out all the guys in our club who have dogs. I mean, there's McGarvey Grumistrottle and Charlie Clamity, the Rabbit Ears McKeister, and Smiling Sam Bishop, and the Wonderly Twins, and Cyril Rappaport, and the Billy McGlink, and Oswald Hustafeffer, and Renfro Simcoe, and me.
Yeah, and are all those dogs acting strange lately?
Big dog? Every one of those dogs, except Renfro Hemcroft, has been doing exactly what Bunny's been doing.
No kidding. You mean they leave the house early in the morning and go off somewhere and then don't come back until late evening?
Yeah.
You say they all do it except in Renfro Hemcroft's dog. How come he doesn't?
Well, Renfro's dog is out on the farm. He doesn't live here in the city.
Oh, I see.
Well, anyway, one other thing. Big dog, as you know, today was a free day at school, so we didn't have to go because it was the principal's birthday. So early this morning, all us guys got together and we decided that we were going to follow the dogs to see if we could find out where they go every day.
So where did they go?
Well, I followed Bunny, and Bunny went down to Charlie Clamadine's house where he met Charlie's dog, Jughead, and then they went off towards Garvey Grubbistall's house. So Charlie and I followed them, and at Garvey's house, Bunny and Jughead met Garvey's dog, Bunyan. And then they went off towards Smiling Sam Bishop's house, and Charlie and Globby and I followed. And at Smiling Sam's house, the three dogs met Smiling Sam's dog, Dr. Farnsworthy. And then the four dogs went off towards the Wonderly Twins, and now all four of us guys were following them.
That must have been a pretty sight.
Yeah, well, there they were, and all the dogs meeting one another, and pretty soon, all the dogs of all the guys that I told you about were all together. And all of us guys who owned all the dogs that were together, we were together, see? So it was real crazy. Like, all the dogs were walking down the street, and we were following them. And then, what was real funny was, all of a sudden, all the dogs saw all us guys following them.
And then what?
And they all started barking together. And then, all of a sudden, they started running up the street towards Mayfair Avenue. So we just took and ran after them. But the dogs could run too fast. So over Mayfair they went, and the last we saw of them, they were going around the corner and onto Applegate Avenue, but by the time we got there, they were gone, and we haven't been able to find hide nor hair of them since. Boys and girls, I'm telling you, something mighty funny is sure going on around here, and we intend to find out what it is if it's the last thing we do. Yes, sir. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Suddenly start getting together every morning and go somewhere and not come back until late evening. It's got me puzzled. I can't figure it out, can you? If you can, I sure wish you'd let me know, because, you know, I think maybe tomorrow I'll get things drawn up early and then we'll try to follow the dogs in his car. And then those dogs won't get away. Yeah, that's what we'll do. Well, see you tomorrow, kids. So long.